Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the TJX Companies' fourth quarter fiscal 2016 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press star and then 1. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded February 24 of 2016. I would like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Ernie Herrmann, Chief Executive Officer and President of the TJX Companies Incorporated. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Gabby. Before we begin, Deb has some opening comments.
Good morning. The forward-looking statements we make today about the company's results and plans are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the actual results and the implementation of the company's plans to vary materially. These risks are discussed in the company's SEC filings, including without limitation, the Form 10-K filed March 31, 2015. Further, these comments and the Q&A that follows are copyrighted today by the TJX Companies. Any recording, retransmission, reproduction, or other use of the same, for profit or otherwise, without prior consent of TJX, is prohibited and a violation of United States copyright and other laws. Additionally, while we have approved the publishing of a transcript of this call by a third party, we take no responsibility for inaccuracies that may appear in that transcript. Please note that the financial results and expectations we discuss today are on a continuing operations basis. Also, we have detailed the impact of foreign exchange on our consolidated results and our international divisions in today's press release and the investor information section of our website, tjx.com. Reconciliations of the non-GAAP measures we discuss today to GAAP measures are included in today's press release or otherwise posted on our website, TJX.com, in the investor information section. Thank you, and now I'll turn it back over to Ernie.
Good morning. Joining me and Deb on the call are Carol Meyerowitz and Scott Goldenberg. Before I begin, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of myself, our entire management team, and our organization to express our sincerest gratitude to Carol. For 9 years as CEO and over a long tenure at the company, Carol has led TJX to great success with achievements too numerous to cover on this call. I am delighted that in her new role as executive chairman, Carol and I will continue our 20-plus years of working together. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by saying that 2015 was another terrific year for TJX. We surpassed $30 billion in sales, and consolidated comp sales increased a strong 5%, which was well above our plan. We are extremely pleased that the comp was driven entirely by customer traffic. Consumers are loving our stores and shopping us even more frequently. We are convinced we are gaining market share profitably around the world. On an adjusted basis, earnings per share increased 5%, also above our expectations, and over a strong 12% increase the prior year. 2015 marks the 20th consecutive year of comp and EPS gains for TJX. In our 39-year history, we have seen only one comp store sales decline. We were also very pleased that we drove merchandise margin increases while offering even more amazing values to our customers. It's important to note that we achieved these results despite significant foreign currency headwinds, as well as reinvesting in the business. Further, we were thrilled that our momentum continued into the fourth quarter. We ended the year with fourth quarter results that significantly exceeded our plans. It's also great to see such consistency in our business, with comps hitting 5 to 6% every quarter of the year. Our 2015 performance once again demonstrates the power of our differentiated, flexible business model to succeed across many different geographic, economic, and retail environments. We were thrilled to expand our global footprint into Austria, the Netherlands, and Australia in 2015. So now we operate in 9 countries across 3 continents. Looking ahead, I am very excited about the future of TJX. We enter 2016 with terrific momentum, and the year is off to a strong start. We are convinced that we can continue growing our customer base around the world and are pursuing various opportunities to capture market share. To support our goals for growth, we are continuing to make strategic investments in the business. I am also confident that we are making the right investments today that will help us grow to $40 billion and beyond. As always, we have a management team that is passionate about achieving its plans and, more importantly, passionate about striving to surpass them. Before I continue, I'll now turn the call over to Scott to recap our fourth quarter and full year numbers.
Thanks, Ernie, and good morning, everyone. I'll begin with some more details on our full year fiscal 16 results. Again, we are thrilled that our 5% consolidated comp increase was entirely driven by customer traffic. It was also great to see that customer traffic was the primary driver of the comp increase at each of our divisions. We believe we are gaining share profitably across all geographies. As a reminder, our comp sales exclude e-commerce. Diluted earnings per share were $3.33, a 5% increase over last year's adjusted $3.16, and exceeded our most recent guidance. It's important to note that our full-year EPS growth was negatively impacted by approximately 4% due to foreign currency and transactional foreign exchange, and about 4% due to our wage initiative, as well as incremental investments and pension costs. For the full year, consolidated pre-tax profit margin was 11.8%, down 50 basis points versus last year's adjusted 12.3%. Gross profit margin was 28.8%, up 30 basis points versus last year, and merchandise margins were also up. SG&A expense as a percentage of sales was 16.8%, up 70 basis points versus last year's ratio. Now to our fourth quarter results. Consolidated comps increased 6% over a 4% increase last year and well above our plan. This marks our 28th consecutive quarter of consolidated comp store sales growth. We were very pleased that our fourth quarter comp was also entirely driven by customer traffic. As with the year, traffic was also the primary driver of each division's quarterly comp increase. Diluted earnings per share were 99 cents, a 6% increase over versus last year, and also well above our plan. It's important to note that our fourth quarter EPS growth was negatively impacted by approximately 4% due to foreign currency and transactional foreign exchange, and about 5% due to our wage initiative, as well as incremental investments and pension costs. Consolidated pre-tax profit margins was 11.9%, down 50 basis points versus the prior year, and significantly better than we planned. Gross profit margin was 28.7%, up 50 basis points versus last year. This was due to an increase in merchandise margin and strong buying and occupancy leverage on the 6% comp. We are very pleased with our gross margin and merchandise margin increases, despite the significant negative impact from transactional foreign exchange at TJX Canada and TJX International, and increased costs associated with moving more units through our supply chain. SG&A expense as a percentage of sales was 16.7%, up 100 basis points versus last year's ratio. This increase was primarily due to our wage initiative, as we had anticipated, as well as contribution to TJX's charitable foundations, higher incentive compensation accruals due to the company's above-plan performance, and increased supply chain costs. At the end of the fourth quarter, consolidated inventories on a per-store basis, including inventories held in warehouses, but excluding in-transit and e-commerce inventories, were up 6% on a constant currency basis. We took advantage of some amazing packaway opportunities during the fourth quarter and ended the year in an excellent inventory position. Now to recap our fourth quarter performance by division. Marmaxx finished 2016 with its best quarter of the year. Comps grew by a very strong 6% on top of a very solid 3% increase last year. Once again, it was terrific to see that the comp increase was entirely driven by customer traffic. As we had planned, with our merchandising and value strategies, we saw a significant increase in transactions and units sold, as well as a decrease in average ticket. Apparel, including accessories and home, both had excellent performance, which is nice to see in today's retail environment. Segment profit margin was flat as Marmaxx's significant merchant margin increase and buying and occupancy leverage offset the expected impact of our wage initiative, higher supply chain costs, and investments in e-commerce. We begin the new year with great momentum at our largest division. Home Goods delivered another outstanding quarter. Comps increased 7% over last year's strong 11% growth, and segment profit margin was up 60 basis points. We are very pleased with Home Goods' strong increase in merchandise margins. Customers clearly love Home Goods as we keep growing this premium brand. At TJX Canada, comps grew a phenomenal 14% over a strong 7% increase last year. This marks the fourth consecutive quarter of double-digit comp growth. Adjusted segment profit margin, excluding foreign currency, decreased 140 basis points, primarily due to transactional foreign exchange, as well as higher incentive compensation accruals due to TJX Canada's above-plan performance. I want to point out that the year-over-year decline in the Canadian dollar had a significant negative impact on this division's merchandise margins. Once again, the efforts that our Canadian organization made to mitigate this currency impact were terrific and highly effective. We are very pleased that all three chains delivered great performance. Now to our businesses beyond North America. These include our European business and Trade Secret in Australia, which together now comprise TJX International. TJX International's comp growth was 1%, and adjusted segment profit margin, excluding foreign currency, decreased 170 basis points. This was primarily due to investments in new countries and transactional foreign exchange, as well as some deleverage on the 1% comp. While the fourth quarter was softer than we would have liked, we are pleased with the improving comp trends we are seeing in this business. Further, TJX International delivered an excellent year. On our e-commerce sites in the U.S. and U.K., we also offer customers a constant flow of gift-giving selections at amazing values throughout the holiday season. We have added thousands of new brands to TJMaxx.com since we launched and plan to continue adding new categories and brands to all of our sites. Now to our financial strength and shareholder distributions. Our business continues to generate excellent cash flows and strong financial returns. In fiscal 16, free cash flow was $2 billion, and ROIC was a strong 22%, one of the highest we have seen in retail. This is thanks in large part due to our disciplined approach to capital allocation. As always, we remain committed to returning cash to our shareholders through our share repurchase and dividend programs while simultaneously reinvesting in the business for the near and long term. Now let me turn the call back to Ernie, and I'll recap our first quarter and full year fiscal 17 guidance at the end of the call.
Thanks, Scott. First, I'd like to briefly cover some highlights from the fourth quarter. Again, we were thrilled to end 2015 with such a strong finish. Customer response to our exciting assortments and great values was terrific this holiday selling season, as well as during the post-holiday period. Every year, we work to improve over the year before. I believe that our marketing, in-store initiatives, gift-giving, and constant freshness were even better than last year and truly set us apart from other retailers. We believe this drove new shoppers to our stores and encouraged more frequent shopping trips. Also, we liked how we transitioned our stores after the holidays, with our stores looking extremely fresh. Now, I'd like to talk about the major strengths that differentiate TJX from so many other retailers. We are convinced that the same elements of our business that differentiate us from other retailers are also key to our continued successful global growth. Further, we believe these elements would be extremely difficult for others to replicate. First, we have a world-class global buying organization that I believe is the best in retail. There are over 1,000 people in our buying organization. And our total merchandising organization, which includes our planning and allocation group, is nearly double that size. Our buyers are located in 11 countries across four continents, and we source from a universe that now numbers more than 18,000 vendors in over 100 countries. This is why we see ourselves as a global sourcing machine. Many in our merchandising organization have been with us for multiple decades, and we have dedicated nearly 40 years to cultivating the talent and off-price expertise of our teams, as well as improving on our buying processes. Further, we take enormous pride in our strong corporate culture, which I am convinced is a key factor in our recruiting and retaining top talent. Second, our global supply chain and distribution network have been developed and refined over nearly 40 years to support our highly integrated international business and opportunistic buying. There is no off-the-shelf, off-price inventory management software to support a global business model like ours, which is why our proprietary IT systems are designed specifically to handle our off-price buying. Our distribution network can process buys as small as 100 units to over a million units from any one of our thousands of vendors in a timely and efficient manner, and then allocate that merchandise to the right stores at the right time. We continue to invest in our supply chain ahead of our store growth to ensure that we have sufficient capacity to support new stores, new chains, and new countries. Third, we are capitalizing on our global presence. TJX is the only major international off-price apparel and home fashions retailer in the world. We are one of the few major U.S. retailers to have expanded successfully internationally. We are the largest off-price retailer in the U.S. and Canada, and remain the only major brick-and-mortar off-price retailer in Europe and Australia. We operate highly integrated and synergistic businesses across many geographies and have built global teams and international infrastructures over many decades. We see our international depth and expertise as a major advantage as we continue to expand our value concept around the world. These key strengths allow TJX to be one of the most flexible retailers in the world. Our best-in-class buying organization, combined with our vast vendor universe, allow us to be nimble in the marketplace and capitalize on the best opportunities. The flexibility of our stores and distribution network allow us to respond quickly to changing customer preferences and trends across many different retail and consumer environments around the world. Further, while we offer consumers many different chains and merchandise categories, each of our four major divisions operate on the same off-price business model. We function as one TJX and leverage talent, infrastructure, ideas, and expertise across the chains. This is an important advantage when opening new stores, launching new chains, entering new markets, or testing new seeds. All of these factors give us great confidence that we can continue our successful, profitable global growth. Further, I believe that it is often underestimated how difficult it would be for other retailers to try and replicate these strengths. These key advantages also underscore our confidence in our ability to gain market share profitably and achieve our long-term goals for growth. Let me take a moment to review our major growth drivers, and there are really three. Our number one initiative remains driving customer traffic and comp sales. We were very pleased with our traffic gains at all divisions in 2015, yet we are convinced that significant opportunity remains to gain market share. We reach an extremely wide demographic, and we like the growth in our customer base across all ages, particularly millennials across all of our divisions. To attract more new customers, we will continue to leverage our global marketing capabilities. During the holiday season, we again leveraged our tri-branded campaigns across the U.S. and Canada and believe that they helped drive more customers to our stores. In 2016, we are strategically shifting our marketing dollars to spend more in certain markets and geographies to capitalize on our biggest opportunities. We are continuing our integrated marketing approach to engage with shoppers of all ages through television, radio, digital, mobile, and social media. To encourage more frequent visits and cross-shopping of our brands, we are growing our successful loyalty programs in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. We also continue to upgrade the shopping experience and plan to remodel about 240 stores across the company in 2016. We were pleased to see our overall customer satisfaction scores increase in 2015, but still see room to become even better on this front. We are confident our WAIT initiative will help us attract and retain talented store associates. I should note that while we are always working on improving efficiencies in our business, we haven't taken any customer-facing actions that would diminish the pleasant shopping experience that we want to ensure for our consumers. Importantly, we see e-commerce as another great way to drive customer traffic both online and to our other stores, to our stores. Our second major growth driver is our enormous global store growth potential. As I just discussed, our ability to leverage our global teams, infrastructure, and operational expertise are major reasons for our confidence in being able to continue to open stores profitably around the world. With over 3,600 stores today, we see the potential to grow by more than 50% to 5,600 stores long-term. To be clear, this reflects the potential we see with our existing chains in our existing countries alone. But beyond this, we believe huge opportunity remains. In North America, we see the potential to add over 1,400 stores. In the U.S., we are far from finished growing our largest, most profitable division. Marmaxx is nearly a $20 billion business, and TJ Maxx and Marshalls each have more than 1,000 stores. Yet, we are confident meaningful opportunity remains to continue growing both chains. Long term, we see Marmaxx growing to approximately 3,000 stores. At HomeGoods, plenty of white space remains across the U.S. We see this chain expanding to at least 1,000 stores, almost double its existing base. And in Canada, our long-term target is about 500 stores. In Europe, we see the long-term potential to expand to 975 stores, almost double our current base. This reflects the potential we see for TK Maxx in our current geographies alone and HomeSense in the UK, and this is before we consider the growth prospects we see in other countries. We are pleased with our launches in Austria and in the Netherlands, which underscored our confidence entering into Australia. We see the potential to develop Trade Secret in Australia as similar to how we grew our Canadian business from a five-store chain to that country's leading off-price retailer. Australia has a population about two-thirds the size of Canada's with similar customer demographics. This underscores our confidence in our ability to grow Trade Secret to be at least a 125-store chain. Clearly, this number could be conservative, and it reflects just the potential we see in the early days of owning this business. Before I wrap up on store growth, I want to say that we are extremely pleased to have grown our store base by 185 stores, or a strong 5%, in fiscal 2016. In addition to being at the upper end of our 4 to 5% range for the last several years, we plan to continue at this pace in fiscal 2017. It also feels great to say that even in today's volatile retail environment, we closed only one store last year. That's on a store base of over 3,600 stores. All of this speaks to the fundamental strength of our business, our disciplined approach to real estate, and our decades of operating expertise in the U.S. and internationally. I should note that while we are opportunistic in our real estate strategies as well, and see volatility in the marketplace as an advantage for our business. The third major growth driver is new seeds and innovation. We are constantly testing new seeds and ideas across the company that could reap tremendous benefits for the future. We are very happy with the early reads in our new Sierra Trading Post stores, and we would be thrilled for STP to eventually become a fourth major chain in the U.S. and Canada. Also, our successful expansion of TK Maxx into Austria and the Netherlands further demonstrates that our value proposition can work in many other European markets. Okay, I'll wrap up with our outlook for 2016. We are delighted with the great momentum in the business and our healthy start to the year. Our business is very strong, and we have many initiatives underway to drive sales and traffic. Our plan for earnings per share growth this year reflects the expected negative impact due to foreign currency and our wage initiative. In addition, investing in initiatives to gain market share and to strengthen our leadership positions around the world remains a top priority. We are committed to carefully balancing our growth and investments, and we remain disciplined in our approach. In 2016, we plan to continue investing in our stores, talent, supply chain, IT, and new seeds. Our strategy is to invest ahead of our growth and we are confident that we are making the right investments today that will give us a strong foundation for the future. Importantly, we are investing in initiatives in which we have decades of knowledge and expertise. All of this gives us great confidence that our investment strategies will be successful. We see many exciting opportunities to expand TJX, both domestically and internationally. We are confident that these investments we are making today will strongly position us to reach the next level of growth. As always, we are laser-focused on beating our plans. I could not be more excited about the future of TJX. This is a great company, and I am confident we will continue to deliver successful growth for many years to come. Now, I'll turn the call over to Scott to go through our guidance. Then we'll open it up for questions.
Thanks, Ernie. Now to fiscal 17 guidance, beginning with the full year. We expect earnings per share to be in the range of $3.29 to $3.38, which would be down 1 to up 2% versus $3.33 in fiscal 16. As Ernie mentioned, similar to last year, in fiscal 17, we are planning our earnings per share to reflect the negative impact from a couple of factors. First, similar to last year, we expect foreign currency and transactional foreign exchange to negatively impact fiscal 17 EPS growth by approximately 4%. Again this year, it's primarily the result of the dramatic decline in the Canadian dollar and British pound rates versus the prior year. Of course, it's important to remember that FX could moderate or benefit us in the future. Secondly, as we detailed on our third quarter earnings call, we are assuming that our wage initiative will have a negative impact of about 4% to fiscal 17 EPS growth. As always, we are extremely focused on controlling cost and striving to succeed our plans. Our EPS guidance assumes consolidated sales in the 32.2 to 32.5 billion range, a 4 to 5% increase over the prior year. This guidance assumes a 1% negative impact to reported revenue due to translational FX. We are assuming a 1 to 2% comp increase on a consolidated basis. We expect pre-tax profit margin to be in the range of 10.9 to 11.1% versus 11.8% in fiscal 16. We're planning gross profit margin to be in the range of 28.3 to 28.5% versus 28.8% last year. In terms of the pressure we see currency having on our mark-on and merchandise margins at TJX Canada and TJX International, we expect the negative impact to be even larger than last year. Excluding the currency headwind, we would expect the consolidated underlying merchandise margin to be flat to slightly up this year versus last year. We're planning SG&A as a percentage of sales to be in the range of 17.2 to 17.3% versus 16.8% last year, primarily due to our wage initiative. For modeling purposes, we're anticipating a tax rate of 38.2%, net interest expense of about $54 million, and a weighted average share count of approximately 662 million. Now to our full year guidance by division. At Marmaxx, we are planning a comp growth of 1 to 2% on sales of 20.5 to 20.7 billion and segment profit margin in the range of 13.6 to 13.8%. As a reminder, in fiscal 17, we're planning Marmaxx's average ticket lower in the first half of the year and essentially flat for the second half. At Home Goods, we expect comps to increase 3% to 4% on sales of 4.2 to 4.3 billion and segment profit margin to be in the range of 12.9 to 13.1%. For TJX Canada, we are planning a comp increase of 3 to 4% on sales of $2.9 billion and adjusted segment profit margin, excluding foreign currency, to be in the range of 12.1 to 12.3%. At TJX International, we're expecting a comp increase of 2 to 3% on sales of $4.6 billion and adjusted pre-tax margin, excluding foreign currency, to be in the range of 5.6 to 5.8%. Now to Q1 guidance. We expect earnings per share to be in the range of 68 to 70 cents versus last year's 69 cents per share. This guidance assumes an expected negative impact to EPS growth of approximately 2% due to foreign currency and transactional foreign exchange, and about 3% due to our wage initiative. We're modeling first quarter consolidated sales in the $7.2 to $7.3 billion range. This guidance assumes a 1% negative impact to reported revenue due to translational FX. For comp store sales, we're assuming growth in the 2 to 3% range on both a consolidated basis and at Marmaxx. First quarter pre-tax profit margin is planned in the 10.2 to 10.4% range versus 11.1% the prior year. We're anticipating first quarter gross profit margin to be in the range of 28.2 to 28.3%, flat to down 10 basis points versus the prior year. We're expecting SG&A as a percentage of sales to be in the 17.8 to 17.9% range versus 17.0 last year. For modeling purposes, we're anticipating a tax rate of 38.4%, net interest expense of about $13 million, and a weighted average share count of approximately 669 million. It's important to remember that our guidance for the first quarter and full year assumes that currency exchange rates will remain unchanged from the levels at the beginning of the first quarter. Moving to our store growth plans for fiscal 17, we plan to add approximately 195 new stores, which would bring our year-end total to about 3,809 stores. This represents store growth of approximately 5% and is at the upper end of our range for the last several years. I want to point out that our plans this year assume no store closings across our entire global store base. Beginning with the U.S., our plans call for us to open about 60 additional stores at Marmaxx and 50 more stores at HomeGoods. We also plan to open about 5 additional Sierra Trading Post stores this year. In Canada, we plan to add about 30 new stores. This reflects the opportunities we see to further expand Winners into rural markets as well as our nationwide opportunities for Marshalls. In Europe, we plan to continue our significant pace of store growth, opening approximately 50 stores this year. This includes our plans to continue expanding into Austria and the Netherlands. I'll wrap up with our financial strength and stability, which clearly gives us tremendous confidence. In fiscal 17, we plan to continue our balanced approach to the use of cash. With our increased investments to gain share and support our growth initiatives, we're planning for capital spending to increase to approximately $1.1 billion. In fiscal 17, we expect that the Board of Directors will increase our quarterly dividend by 24%, on top of our 20% increase last year. This would mark our 20th consecutive year of dividend increases. We're planning to buy back 1.5 to 2.0 billion of TJX stock. Even with this level of shareholder distributions, we still plan to end fiscal 17 with 1.7 to 2.2 billion in cash and short-term investments, which points to our significant financial flexibility. Now we are happy to take your questions. To keep the call on schedule, we're going to continue to ask you to please limit your questions to one per person. And thanks, and now we will open it up to questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. To cancel your request, press star and then two. Our first question comes from the line of Omar Scott. Sir, your line is open.
Yes, it's Omar Scott at Evercore ISI. Thanks for taking my question. Great quarter, guys. Wanted to dive in on the gross margin line a little bit deeper. Ernie and Scott, the transactional piece sounds a little bit bigger than perhaps we were thinking about it. You know, I've been under the pressure in the European market. You buy in pounds and euros, but maybe Canada's different. And help me think about the potential to perhaps use price increase or mix as a way to offset the transactional impact, something that some other companies in the apparel space are using.
Well, first I'll just give you a bit of the breakdown there. The components of the 4% that Omar were talking about next year are largely split between translational, which is just the, you know, the current taking the current British pound and the Canadian dollar with what averages we actually incurred last year. The rest of that is just the, again, the drop-off of the currency that we've seen in both the British pound and Canadian dollar. And it, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, most of our, you know, purchases have not been made, so they're going to be subject now to this lower Canadian dollar. If we had bought out like other chains, you would probably have less of an impact, but with a big drop-off, you're still going to have a drop-off that at this point is a bit more than last year. I'll now turn it over to Ernie.
Yeah, Omar, a good question. What happens on that front, by the way, maybe adjusting retails would make sense if we saw others doing that. We haven't experienced that to that degree. And our number one strategy, as you can see overall, has been to gain market share. So we're on this mission to continue to offer, you know, the outrageous value and not being the first one to try to up the retail. So, you know, we've been successful of recent by ensuring our value is the sharpest out there. So we do not want to mess with that. And even though, you know, we're getting hit on the buying of the goods in, you know, U.S. dollars with the Canadian dollar translation, we still haven't moved our values. And it's, I believe, if you look at our Canadian comps, it's helping us gain significant market share, actually, in that market. So right now that's the strategy that we're focused on.
Thanks. That makes a lot of sense. And but just, Scott, to be clear, the Canadian market, you're buying in Canadian dollars in for the Canadian market, but in the U.K., are you buying in British pounds, the cost of goods?
So, Omar, what it is actually is in both markets we buy a certain percentage of the mix. And so in Canada we buy, and I think we've been public on this, we buy about half the mix in U.S. dollars. And the other half is not. It's Canadian. But so that's still a big chunk, as you can imagine.
And then in Europe we buy
smaller.
Right. About a half of our goods are bought, let's just say, between U.S. dollars and euro. And then
right.
That's about half split between, of that 50%, between the U.S. dollar and the euro.
Right.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Richard Jaffe. Sir, your line's open.
Thanks very much, guys, and really congratulations on a very strong quarter. I guess a two-part question. One is the traffic strength has been remarkable. I'm wondering what are the levers you're pulling or what is the source of the success there, marketing, direct mail, the e-commerce effort we've seen in the U.S.? And then if you could just comment briefly on the decrease in ticket at Marmaxx and if it's the same at each division.
Okay, Richard. So let's start at the top there. In terms of the traffic, first of all, there are a lot of levers being pulled, just as you mentioned. Marketing, it's never one thing. Obviously, we won't give any specific breakdowns on it, but marketing is a play. We've been very happy, as you can see, and you've witnessed some of it. I'm sure some of the creative we've had out there, like our tri-brand campaign at Holiday, and we like what we're hitting out there with for this first quarter coming up. Our loyalty programs have been strong, so also very happy with that. I would tell you one of the key drivers, though, still, especially in a business like ours, which has so much traffic and frequency of shopping, is that we've been executing the model, which is to deliver great goods at exciting values. And we've been going after, clearly, these brands and quality and fashion at retails that in some cases are obviously lower. That's a piece of why the average ticket had dropped. So to your question there. By the way, your other part of your question, with the average ticket drop, we've had a little bit of it in the other divisions, but Marmaxx has really been more so the division that has experienced more of it. It's not as big a swing and other places in the corporation. But the traffic, you know, we've been happy with it because we feel like we're working on all fronts. And even at this point in time, the amount of branded packaway opportunities that have existed out there has really allowed us to position ourselves going into the new year, we think, to continue to help with the traffic pull.
How much is that packaway?
We cannot give you that number. That is a good question. If you'd like to, maybe you'd like to ask Carol to see if, you know, she'd
Yeah, you'll get that out of me.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kimberly Greenberger. Ma'am, your line is open.
Great. Thanks so much. I was wondering, Scott, you talked about rising supply chain costs. Is there, can you just put some numbers around that? Are supply chain costs simply increasing because TJX volumes continue to grow quarter after quarter and year after year? Or is there some deleveraging happening within the supply chain? And I'm wondering if you have any initiative in 2016 or 2017 on the supply chain side. Thanks so much.
Yeah, the biggest piece of the supply chain cost in last year and will be more first half oriented this year relate to the lower average retail at Marmaxx and the cost moving more units through, moving through our network. So we would expect that piece of that to moderate substantially in the back, half at the moment. The other piece, frankly, relates to we did not plan going back a few years ago the 7-8 comps that we've experienced at Home Goods Nord, the double-digit comp increase that we've had at Canada, thereby necessitating really more of a timing, moving forward some of the needs for our supply chain infrastructure, and even a little bit of that at Marmaxx given the lower average retail. So this is more of a timing of the next year or two where we continue to have those incremental costs, and we would see that to moderate over time.
And at the same time, adding into that, we have, as you've seen in the plans, we've upped the amount of Home Goods new store openings, which is also in addition to our comps, is adding it to additional capacity need because we're very bullish on the future of our store openings with Home Goods.
All high class problems. Thanks so much and congratulations on a great year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Matthew Boss. Sir, your line is open.
Hey, congrats on a great quarter, guys.
Thank you.
So as we think about SG&A, if you excluded the wage investment this year, would the comp leverage point in 2016 still be around that 2% hurdle? And then just as we think about the investment opportunities, how would you rank them this year and next between international systems, e-commerce, clearly a lot of different ways you guys can take the investments? And then finally, just any color on your current business post-holiday I think would be really helpful just given all the disruption from some of your competitors.
Matthew, I will let me just start with some of the color. We'll let Scott speak to the SG&A. That's in his wheelhouse, so to speak. On the investing, first of all, we do what we think makes sense in each area. Clearly, we look at each independent, like international, where we look at there versus systems versus e-commerce. We look at a strategy independently of each and decide what do we think is the right long-term and the appropriate amount. So I tell you, on our e-commerce business, and we've discussed this before, it's a relatively small piece of our business, and we are taking approach there of investing in a very methodical way and a careful way. Having said that, we're very happy with the business where it is today. We just will keep that in ratio to the benefit and where we think we are headed with that. Systems, there's certainly a maintenance side to that and a part of running the business that we are cognizant of. And international, clearly you can tell from what we talked about in the script, that is a key focus for us, and we have shown to make our model work whenever we replicate our model wherever we go. In fact, as I believe I mentioned, in Australia, we are pretty happy with our early indicators there, going in fairly recently and already experiencing, I think, some pretty good success. So I think, we can't give you specifics by the different investments. We would tell you they're all long-term oriented, and they're all doing what makes sense for the business. In terms of color post-holiday, Also, as we mentioned, we're feeling, very bullish, I would say, starting the new year off strong, and that's across many categories. Yes, there are plentiful opportunities in the market, as we talked about going back at the last two quarter calls. I think Carol and I both discussed that with you in the last two quarters, but nothing has really changed in the environment out there. In fact, there just continues to be a lot of opportunities. If anything, we're at one of those high points of taking advantage of packaways, but still having to control our merchants to make sure that we don't buy too much, actually, because there's so much to choose from. So we're feeling really, really strong about the positioning post-holiday. The liquidity is in a good position. That is feeling healthy. And I guess that's that. And I will ask Scott to jump in on the SG&A.
Yeah, I'll just won't give much more color on the investment, but, you know, our capital budget increase over last year is pretty similar when you talk about the new stores, renovations, as Ernie talked about earlier, and the biggest incremental piece, you know, of our increase over last year, frankly, relates to timing of some spend between fiscal 16 and fiscal 17, and then, as we talked about, just the costs related to the new distribution centers. Moving to the SG&A, now the comp break-even is a solid 3%. It used to be a bit lower, but more having to do with the, this is going back several years, with the significant opportunities that were at that point in terms of cost efficiencies and merchandise, lower-lying fruit on merchandise inventories as we were bringing down substantially our inventories. The past last year, and I would say still certainly with the wage piece and a little bit with the average ticket, the incremental costs obviously are weighing on you because the wage increases and with the average retail are mitigating a bit of what that would be on your flow through. So a solid 3% excluding what would be the wage increase.
Okay, great. Best of luck, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Paul Lejuez. Sir, your line's open.
Hey, thanks, guys. On the trade secret business, is that currently losing money? If it is, can you share with us how much in 15 and maybe how much in 16? And just thinking about now that you have that Australian business, does that change your packaway strategy at all, just given seasons are opposite? Might you use less packaway in the North America business, maybe ship some of the goods down there? And just wondering, obviously related to that, does it maybe change your open to buy here in North America? Thanks.
So, Paul, I'm going to give a lot of color, but clearly in the fourth quarter and the early part of this year, the trade secret acquisition will be a large portion of the decrease in the TJX International and a relatively small impact over the course of the year for TJX in total.
Paul, on the on your merchandise really mix and opportunity question there, which by the way is a great question because one of the benefits we've liked about it is we have been able to bob and weave, so to speak, the way you have just described it. So we're able to take things that are a little out of season here and go there with it. Now, you have to keep in mind we're dealing with 35 stores versus billions, right? So it's not a major swing impact for, like, the Marmax guys or the home businesses here, but there is a strong benefit for that new Australian business for Trade Secret because they're able to take advantage, to your point, of the off-season goods. It becomes not a packaway. It becomes an in-season use there. And there's going to be some benefit additionally, in terms of reading some trends on a certain fashion item that we'll be able to go ahead of it there, like we're able to do with our down stores here as well. But even there, a little earlier, that'll give us some reads, actually, on some fashion items ahead of the curve so that we can maybe take advantage of that back here. So great question. Yeah. Yeah, and we're happy. Again, as I said before, very happy with we have what we've already done with that, and we have some great people working there. We have one a senior executive that, and I think we talked about this before, from our Canada division that has relocated there, as well as a handful of other TJX associates. So we are really TJX-sizing that business rather quickly, and already, and you guys are familiar with how we pride ourselves on turning fast to create the treasure hunt, that division is already turning significantly faster than it did last year with a huge reduction in inventory. So all good signs, and I think the subject you brought up about the way we'll buy it will just help that. That'll be another benefit in the future.
Great. Thanks. Good luck.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Stephen Grambling. Sir, your line is open.
Hey, good morning. I have a bit of a big picture question, one follow-up, if I can. We often hear pushback from investors on how big off-price can be and if it really needs full price, and this quarter seems to alleviate those concerns. But can you give us any thoughts you have on that relationship between full price and off-price, how that might be changing, and any quantification of how big the off-price market should be or can be?
So, Stephen, obviously, I guess you would say in the big picture, you'd say you're asking a group of people that are maybe not totally objective on this, because we would say off-price can continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we are not as high on the full-price business for a reason. I think in the environment that we're in right now, by the way, I think the value off-price business still plays better, and some of the results that come out there, I think that will validate that. If you look at our store growth that we've laid out, that tells you how bullish we are. And then if you look at, I think, some of the other reports that have been out recently over the last couple of months on other types of retail that do not have store growth going the other way, so to speak, I think that would tell you that we believe the off-price is the big opportunity. Sometimes there's a concern there's going to be a lack of goods as we continue to grow and add all these stores. It just, as you know, I think I said it like 20 minutes ago, we actually have to hold the merchants back still. There's so much goods out there. We've never not had it be that way. It goes in waves, sometimes a little more than others. Yes, right now it's a little bit more of that more, but even when it cuts back a little, there's still more goods than we can take in. So, we're just bullish on this model. We can't speak to, nor can the team speak to really any other retail model as well as we can this one, but we're very comfortable and confident where the potential lies us in TJX and growth here.
Fair enough. And as a follow-up, you had outlined, I believe it was a 10 to 13% EPS growth algorithm at the Analyst Day back in 2013. Is that still the right way to think about the long-term growth ex FX and maybe once wage hikes normalize?
Well, we aren't, Paul, we aren't really providing today our long-term EPS model because there are just a few factors impacting our growth. The first one is clearly the foreign exchange issue has been in flux. By the way, someday that could go the other way and actually benefit us. But right now that's been in flux, as we just talked about. Secondly, there's a negative impact from our wage initiative, which Scott referred to. And it's bigger in FY17 that we're entering. We expect it, by the way, in FY18 to go back to 16 levels, but it's still significant. And the other, again, unknown there or a bit in flux, is that we could be further impacted if additional cities, states, or countries increase their minimum wage. So that, again, hits us there potentially, but we don't know by how much. And then lastly, we have our investments to fuel our future growth. And these investments, by the way, as I said before, these are the right things to do. We are building, and two of the key components there are building our supply chain earlier because we've had this high-class problem of growing faster than we planned on, and our systems investments. And having said all that, we are so confident in TJX and a long-term growth vision for growth. We're not giving you that long-term model today, but our business is so fundamentally healthy. Our traffic gains in FY16 and our momentum entering into FY17 are so strong. We're just building talent for the future is another thing we're after, and we are making long-term investments where we think they make sense. So hopefully that helps you.
That's helpful. Thanks. Best of luck this year.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lorraine Hutchinson. Ma'am, your line is open.
Thanks. Good morning. I wanted to follow up on the guidance for flat ticket in the second half. Is this just a matter of lapping last year's initiatives, and is there an opportunity to continue to sharpen the value proposition for customers as we move through the year?
Lorraine, you know, it's funny that we talk about this quite a bit internally here, and so we would say we expect it to moderate second quarter of next year. You're exactly accurate. Part of that was a mixed component. If you remember, there were really two facets. One, buying because of the nature of the environment right now, buying the same goods for less. But then you have the other half of the component, which was really just, we juggled some of the mixes, and the penetrations of certain mixes with lower ticket went up. So it created a mixed content issue. To your question, we would think that's going to happen. The only thing I would tell you is we have bought so little of that time period at this point because we're so opportunistic that we have so much open to buy for the second quarter that we could end up, yes, we could end up slightly down in ticket again. I doubt it would be to the degree that we've had it last year over the year before, but it could be down a few points. That's possible because we don't want to predict. One of the best parts of this business is when we have significant open to buy. We don't feel a need to have to call it today on where we could end up, you know, then. We want to go with the best values that are out there.
Great. And then can you talk about any trends at Home Goods in terms of ticket? Have those been up or down over the past couple of years?
We don't really talk about that. I would say it hasn't been it's been kind of uneventful, I would say. And ticket has not been a component of that business. They are just doing so many other things that are driving the business clearly. And we're just happy with the business because of all the execution on the other fronts. If you walk in there, as you know, it's one of our, I would say, our most impulsive mixed store. It's difficult if you're a customer to walk in and not spend $200. I guess that's the way we like to describe it, because there's so much exciting impulse merchandise there. So it's really less of like a ticket issue there and more about the ever-changing. And I think you guys are aware, Lorraine, I'm sure you've heard from us about how fast we turn Home Goods, right? It is our fastest turning business. So I think we're getting a customer there that not only is it impulsive to begin with, she could go back a week and a half later and it's different again. So we're excited
Great.
About it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And our last question comes from the line of Mike Baker. Sir, your line is open.
Thanks. I'll finish up by asking about the competitive environment relative to department stores and promotions. We know that they were pretty heavy in inventory and pretty promotional because of the warm weather earlier in the winter. So did you see that? How did you work against that? But more importantly, are you seeing any change in the promotional environment? Presumably, department stores have started to work through some of that inventory and the weather has gotten a little bit more seasonal in some areas. So are you seeing less promotional competitive pressures out there?
You know, Mike, we haven't. I have to tell you, I haven't seen no major shift of recent. Right now you see less relative to fourth quarter because that's the nature of the time period when you're transitioning into the new season. So, yes, there's less right now than there was before. However, if you ask me, how does it compare this year to last year for department stores? I could not answer that. We try to kind of focus on what we're feeling here. What we feel in general is an environment of, again, a lot of availability of merchandise. We don't know where that, you know, some of it's department stores, some of it's specialty stores, some of it's other types of stores. So that's really our only barometer. In terms of their promotional activity, again, not sure. We do see their ticket actually declining is our perception. I would say not declining, but we see their ticket, kind of staying in the zone that it's been to last year. kind of very similar. Like, we don't see any major shifts, I guess, in what they're carrying.
Okay, understood. One more, if I could. If I think I have these numbers right, when you adjust out the wage and the currency, your earnings growth last year at this time, you talked about 9 to 12%. This year, if you add back the 8 percentage points from those things, it's more like 7 to 11%. So is the lower expected growth, excluding all those two one-time things, is it because of the investments you're making, or is there something else in there?
Well, the primary difference, or one of the biggest differences, is the wage versus last year, but also we don't have as high a level of merchandise margin increase also compared to last year. So we as we talked about, we still have a merchandise margin that's planned, you know, up excluding the currency. So, but it's not planned at the levels that higher levels that we had on a plan last year.
Okay.
Again, comparable 1 to 2% comp that we had last year.
Right. Of course.
Those would be the two of the bigger components.
And Mike, I would like to reiterate, and I think we say this often, that we always plan conservatively, and as you know, our intention is always to beat these plans. So that we are clearly putting together what we believe is the right plan to put together, but we, you know, our intention is to certainly surpass the plan.
Understood. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that was our last question. We look forward to having the opportunity to talk with you guys again after the first quarter. Thank you all for your time today.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may all disconnect. Thank you for participating.